All right. Many years ago, my aunt promised me in Zimbabwe, she promised to buy me a pair of like Vans, but it was the Zimbabwean equivalent of Vans, Bata, you know. And so so when the time came to the, because normally in Zimbabwe people would get paid at the end of every month, she says, look, at the end of the month I'm going to buy you a pair of shoes. So I then went and I said, look, I'm here for the pairs of shoes. And she basically told me, I'm buying you a pair of shoes. And I said to her, but you promised me that you're going to buy me a pair of shoes. And so I recall leaving a place, possibly was a Thursday night, you know. I recorded my sorrow on that night, you know, and I caught the taxi and I went back home. And even if that aunt ever said anything to me again, do you think I was going to believe her? Never. To this day, I don't believe that aunt, you know. However, I had an uncle, you know, he's late now. He said to me, you know what, I want to buy you a pair of shoes. And so at the end of the month, I went to his work, caught the lift there, and true to his word, he bought me the pairs of shoes that I wanted, you know. And he's late now. And because of the fact that, you know, he followed through with his word, you know, when he passed, and this is not a brag, and when he passed, you know, his children now don't have a father. They don't have somebody who can provide for them. And I said to my aunt, you don't worry, you know, I'll pick up the tab. You know, now I don't think that if he was a lying uncle, I maybe still would have done it, but I wouldn't have done it with as much gladness as I've been doing it with, you know. And so I don't know, I wonder, have you ever been promised something that, whether it's the Lord, whether it's a parent, whomever it may be, has said that there are certain things that are going to take or happen in your life, you are going to be this or that, you're going to go to different places, you're going to impact people, whatever it may be. And yet you're still waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. I can imagine, you know, when you were told that promise, there was great anticipation that, you know what, I'm going to be bought. In my case, it was the pair of shoes. So there was anticipation that, you know what, I'm going to be looking trendy in 30 days' time. But when the time came, obviously, that did not happen. And so you can, just the sadness that comes about, and it's quite easy for us, you know, and as it was for me, going back when my aunt did not follow through with what she had promised, that it's so easy for us to start feeling sorry for ourselves, or I felt sorry for myself. And I started to think, is there something wrong with me that this person who promised me something did not follow through? And I sincerely wonder, you know, as children of God, whether we face such a situation where, you know, God has said that as you've had words spoken over your life that you're going to go, you're going to make such impact, and you're still waiting, you know? And the frustration is building. And the belief in God, the belief that he's going to follow through, is waning. You know, that each time somebody comes and encourages you and says, this is what the Lord is saying, this is what the Lord has put in my heart, you're going to God, you're going to make impact, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. It's quite easy for us to become blasé about that and say, I don't know. You know, I don't know whether it will ever come to pass. And so we've got a story as we, you know, focusing on the chapter of Hebrews, where it talks about in Hebrews 11, there is that great hall of faith where everybody who was in there was able to accomplish great things by faith. And so in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, it was by faith that Abraham, obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And this story relates to an episode that happened in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him." And note this, Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And so he went with a few other people, and the story goes. One of the key things that we need to understand, you know, is that God is all about relationship. As we can see the journey that, even as we look at the children of Israel when they were taken through, the Bible is full of God wanting to have a relationship with people. And the premise of that relationship is that there is a plan, there is a purpose for your life. However, this is a relationship where there's going to have to be some trust involved as we interact with one another. You see, and so how you respond to God's promises determines what God does in, or determines what God will do in your life. And that's really a key thing, you see, is that here is a man who, you know, given the instruction by the Lord to leave, and this is what he decided to do. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. And so here's a guy who's taken a leap of faith at 75 years old. His wife was possibly younger than him. She was younger than him, and they went together. They're now leaving with all their cattle, all their belongings, yet they've got no children. And this is what he's saying. He was given the promise that this is what I'm going to do with your life. And the key thing you see is that God blesses us so that we might be a blessing to other people. And his great concern is that the whole world might be blessed. And the key thing you see is that there is a world that you occupy. And there are people's worlds that are waiting on the promise that God has for you. So that as you receive that promise, as you begin to outwork that into your life, you begin to influence the world that you belong to. And that is really a key thing, is that there are others, you see, there's only one person who can become prime minister once every 3 or 4 years. One person can become premier every 3, 4 years, whatever, you know. And the key thing, however, is that we've been given our worlds where we occupy. And this is the place where God is saying, I want you to trust me that I'm going to take you from where you are and bring you into a place where you are going to be prospering, a place where there's going to be nourishment for you. But most importantly, there is a place that is going to be nourishment for other people. And so sometime, you know, so what we have is that in life, we've got God's plan. And God's plan, it says in chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." And that would have been very reassuring to the old man, you know, that, you know, something is going to happen, is that one thing that I want, because we have to understand that Abram had everything that he wanted. It's not like this guy was a poor guy. He had all the money, livestock, whatever. But there was something that his money could not buy. And most importantly, this wasn't just about himself and the things that he could do. It was really about what God wanted to do in his life, but through his life, so he could touch other people. You see, God was waiting. And so you have a situation here where Abram is getting older and older. The promise is not coming. And so I believe that what God was waiting for was waiting for Abraham and Sarah to be dead, to be as good as dead, so that God alone would receive the power and the glory. And that's the encouragement to all of us here, you see, is that there is a testing that happens when all of a sudden God wants to do something with our lives. And now God wants to ensure that he will be the only one that will get all the praise and all the glory. Because the tendency that happens is that when things come very easy, we start to think that, well, I've done something about this. This is God, you know, I must be great. I'm intelligent. I'm smart. I'm beautiful. So this had to be my doing. But if God is going to do something with your life of significance, he's going to take you through a time where there's a lot of doubt of yourself, that your self-sufficiency has got to die. So that when your self-sufficiency is dead, then you can be fully reliant. Then God now comes in and says, all right, it's now time for me to come to work, so that he is the only one that gets all the praise and all the glory. And because life gets difficult when you constantly have got to wait for a promise. You know, you constantly have to wait. Things are not happening at the pace that you want them to happen. And my goodness, we are a generation where we want things to happen now. Not tomorrow, now. I want my lunch. When do I want it? Now. You know, we would rather get paid daily rather than have to wait every fortnight. You know, but the good thing you see is that God has his plan. The question is always going to be, are we going to surrender to his plan? You know, it's easy to be discouraged, and goodness, I know what discouragement is like, where you feel that God is going to come in and act. You know, many years ago, when I first came to Australia, I remember speaking to my parents. My grandparents used to be from this other, they used to work in a remote town on the border between Zimbabwe and Zambia. And they basically just said, look, there used to be an old man there who used to attend the church service, and the church service used to be mostly outside, you know. And this old man spoke and prophesied and says that, your daughter, which meant my aunt, this is a good aunt, not the one that promised me. and he referred to me that this guy is going to be he's going to be a pastor. And this was 20 odd years ago. And so I hear this message, and now I'm in church, and I begin to want to manufacture, to do things. You know, I put myself in a position, yes, I was a youth leader, I was doing things, it was great. Wherever we went, I made sure that, you know, I was in leadership. You know, I want this, you know. And the funny thing, the good thing is that I remember when I was in Wollongong, my youth pastor, I just want to get the mic. You know, I want to get the mic. I want to talk to everybody, tell them God has plans, great plans for your life, you know. But the pastor said, nah, you know, you're not going to be speaking. And what I would do is that I would drive the church bus. And what I would also do is that I would be like the security for when the young people would come in, you know. And inside, you know, I'm churning and I'm thinking, man, this is not it. This is not the plan. This is not what the Lord wants for my life. He wants me to be up there speaking. But it was in that moment, you know, where you have to die to yourself, you know, to the things that you want to do. Then I moved to Alice Springs. We were there, and I was, you know, agitating. You know when you agitate for something, you want it. And I was agitating for leadership as well. So I was leading the young people, the youth there. Man, that was a disastrous year, you know, for me and for the young people, you know, because I was hell-bent that, you know, I'm just going to get up there and I'm just going to talk them to death, you know. And so I remember we were coming from Darwin and I was, you know, at all these grand plans, we're going to do this year. I'm going to spend a day, you know, maybe work a day less so that I could work an extra day in the church. And that was early January. But by the time we reached, that was 2011. Somewhere there, you know. And by the time the end of January came, I quit the youth ministry, you know. And by the time, then I quit my job. And then by the time July came, I had left Alice Springs. You see, but there was a huge immaturity in me. Because you see, it was all about what I wanted. That God, you said, this is going to happen. And the funny thing is that the frustration continued to occur where now you just become, I couldn't care less. You know, whenever there was the opportunity, you wouldn't take it with both hands. But when we moved to Port Hedland, you know, we just started serving as, you know, we're one of the leaders there. And we did that, I think, for the 8 years we were there. But a shift, I guess, you know, when we try to do things our own way, sometimes it can just lead to more frustration. It leads to more heartache, you know. And the story goes in Genesis 16, it says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham, being a good man, said, he agreed, you know. He agreed with his wife and said, are you sure, baby? You know, yeah, I'm sure. All right. Thank you very much, you know. So if that's what you want, I'll do it, you know. And so he went, story goes, sleeps with Hagar, had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress with contempt. And then Sarah said to Abram, this is all your fault, you know. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. I really don't understand Abraham's reply here. Because if it were me, I would have said, look, man, baby, you can't put that on me. You encouraged me to go, you know. But anyway, you know, him being a nice guy, he just said, look, she's your servant. Deal with her as you see fit. Remember we said that when he got the call to leave, he was 75 years old. When this happened in Genesis, he was 85 years old. So 10 years had passed. No action was happening. And so the frustration kicks in. And guess what normally happens when frustration kicks in? Like, you know what? I'm going to take matters into my own hands. You know? So God had promised them a child, but had not told them when the child would be born. And the key thing we can get from this is sometimes God's delays are not God's denials. And then when Ishmael was born, Abraham was 86 years old. And there's a funny story that I'll share, you know, just how gentle God is that sometimes when we begin to deviate from the plan that he has for us, there is no way that you're going to read where he scolds Abraham or severs the relationship with him because of what he did with Ishmael. Because of Ishmael being born. So it's either we can live our lives relying on God's plan, or you can rely on my plan, which is your plan. But I guess the truth is that what we want everybody to know as we go through this journey, that, you know, what our faith story has got to be, what it's all about, is to say there is a plan. You know, in Genesis 21, verse 1 to 5, it says, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This just happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. 25 years later, this man had to wait. He had to wait 25 years up until his promise came to fruition. If the band, worship team, can please get back up again. So when he was 99 years old, in Genesis 18, God appeared to him, you know, and said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. So when he was 99, another promise came, that the thing that I said is going to happen in your life is going to happen. And I guess the encouragement for us is that when we're faced with the things that God has spoken over our lives, you know, it is quite easy for us to become frustrated, you know, to become downcast, to try and take matters into our own hands. But God is saying that you got to trust me, that there is a plan, you know. And our key thing is that we want to submit to what the plan of God is for our lives. You see, the birth of Isaac was a step forward in the accomplishing of God's purpose. God so wants to do great things with each of our lives that he's called us all to be people of significance and of purpose. He wants to impact the world around us. Are we going to let him become the thing? You know, as I said before, how you respond to God's promise determines what God will do in your life. And so when God, you see, there has to be, when God speaks to us, there has to be, the response has got to be immediate. Because it said that, leave, this is what I'm going to do, and then so Abraham departed. So we've got to be those that are quick to hold on to the word of God. You know, that promise. Because faith and promise go together. You know, Abraham was already a rich guy. But God had things that money could not buy. This was about Abraham's life in the plan of God. It is about destiny. It is about relationship. And the reason why he had to learn to trust the Lord is because when you fast forward a few chapters later, he gets to a point where his son is now born, this son of promise. And so God had basically taken him along the journey, and then he says, look, I want you to sacrifice your son. And because now he understood that this was about relationship, it was okay for him to make the decision to sacrifice his son. Because he knew that if God has asked me to sacrifice the son, he was faithful enough to follow through with his promise. So I know if I kill this boy, God will provide me with another child. And the one thing that he learned to do was to trust. You see, Ishmael, as bad as that was, you know, where Abraham took things into his own hand, was a sign of God's faithfulness, you know, because there were lessons to be learned. And the lesson to be learned here is that God can be trusted. That God can be trusted regardless of how dead the situation is. Even if you've taken things into your own hands, you've got to recognize that if it's not the promise of God yet, the promise is still to come. And God is saying, can you trust me? And I know that for some of you, you know, God is positioning you with some of you with opportunity so you can fulfill God's plan for your life. You know, some of you, he's called to be intercessors. to be seers, to be watchmen, to be those that God will begin to give dreams to, visions. And as you begin to receive those visions, those are going to begin to go and to encourage other people, embolden them. He's calling others for business, for other people to be in business. And he's giving you the anointing. And the reason being is so that you can expand the kingdom of God in your world. Others is calling into leadership, leadership in government. The reason being is that so that the kingdom of God can increase in that world that God is placing you in. Others is saying that, you know, what I want you to do as you stand at your post is I want you to love and to support people. Love and support them. Because there are people out there that need the love and the support of God. And others is called to be to hospitality. And that sounds like, oh man, that's a cheap job. You know, he just called me to be a waiter or a waitress or whatever. But do you know that when deals are done, whether it's in government, whether it's in business, most of the time it happens in cafes, in restaurants. So the people that are involved in hospitality are there. They're a connection point for people. And God is saying that some of you are being called to be those that connect. You provide this, the atmosphere and the space where people can be connected. So they can grow and the kingdom of God will begin to expand. And one of the very good leaders that I know was our pastor in Port Hedland, Pastor Lil Hooper. No, she would, you know, she would get up on stage. She was very reluctant to get up on stage and speak. You know, but what she was good at, there used to be lunch served after the service. She was great at hospitality. But guess what? She did that very well. And my encouragement to each and every one of us as we stand this morning is that you need to operate in your strength zone, in your area of gifting. And because God has gifted each and every one of us with something, you need to operate within that zone because there are blessings that come for you when you operate in that zone. And so just as we close, you know, there may be some who've never, you know, who are saying that, you know what, I didn't even realize that